here I come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is.
And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. If you have a home improvement hang-up, help is on the way. You can send an email or call into the show. The Mighty House crew is now on the job. This is
Mighty House.
Good morning, Chicago. I'm Ron Cowgill, and the Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Do you have a problem with your house and don't know what to do? You can give us a call, 773-763-9278. Maybe you need to know how to install tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, replace a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 773-763-9278. All right, we got open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we're going to have the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Cowgill. And then in the second hour, we're going to be talking with Jesse Kelsey, and he is a astronumerologist. Remember that, Rich?
Yes.
And he talks about your house number and what that means about you as a person and your family. It sounded pretty interesting. I got to figure out what this is all about.
I know. I like the idea. What was it? And also, based on your current address, he gives you like a formula.
Did I miss it?
What the address should be of your next house.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, yes, I am truly looking forward to this. It should be a trip.
It's going to be pretty cool.
Morning, Robbie.
What you doing, Robbie?
Well, I was going to call you.
Oh, yeah? But?
That takes time, and she didn't have any.
This isn't plugged in. Okay. So remember two and a half weeks ago, my dog had surgery?
Right.
Yeah.
It's been messed up ever since.
Nice.
So I had to take him. Like, he had the surgery, and then 2 days in a row I had to take him because he was having urination problems. So on Sunday.
Were you running?
Yeah. So on Sunday.
She just did the Muck Fest again.
I did. A week ago, his stitches opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to take him to the emergency room. I don't even want to tell you how much that visit cost. So every single day since then, he's been in the doctor at the vet because they want to clean it out, check it out.
You could have gotten all new appliances for your kitchen, probably.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish I had known beforehand because I told you, like, our sheepdog, same thing, the ACL. And I did all kinds of research, and I found so many vets that said, don't do it. The surgery is worse than trying to keep the dog still to let it heal.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the don't let the dog run and jump route, and Haley's fine.
Wow.
So I feel bad for you. So
no,
that does suck.
You know, I mean,
and hopefully Loki will be good.
He has. Okay. So I went with the surgery route because it was completely torn and the meniscus was gone. So I didn't hear both studies, but I'm like, okay, I have to get it done. Now, the thing, though, with the not healing, I know that that's a thing that happens to people sometimes. Sometimes a wound doesn't close. It has to close from the inside out. So the issue is it's all fluid. So fluid built up, and the fluid had to go somewhere, so that's it pushed the stitches open. So now Tuesday he has to go back in.
Nice.
He has to go back in and get a drain, put in his leg, and then stitched up. I'm like, so anyway, this morning was the first morning I didn't have to take him to the vet, but I had to do all the
other stuff.
And I'm like, I can do this. I'm close.
Yeah.
I'm close.
You did close. Yeah. You got close.
So what did I miss?
So we're going to have Jesse.
Nothing. He was just doing the open as usual.
Yeah. Oh. The Jesse Kelsey, he's going to be on at 9 o'clock, an astronumerologist. Remember that the guy
yes.
we were talking about? So he's going to tell us about our house number and what that tells us about ourselves and our family.
But how can that, well, I guess.
We're going to have to wait until 9
to find out.
Okay, because I was going to say, I guess you could say you're buying a house, so you are picking the number.
Well, we'll find out.
The number just sort of comes with it, right?
Right.
Buy a house based on location and schools and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So that's why I'm really interested to see how these numbers play into it.
Yeah. So, would you buy a house that was 666, you know, Main Street?
They don't make those.
The post office sets the numbers, and they won't do that.
Yeah. All right. Hey, and also we're going to have gardening with Laura Waring and the Mighty House Greenhouse in the third hour. That's what everybody really sticks around for. Clutter clarity.
We're going to have a little quiz.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Nice. That doesn't sound good. But, of course, your phone calls the entire 3 hours. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. And you can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call, it's 773-763-9278. You, too, can ask Robbie questions.
That's right.
Hey, you can't. I'm going to ask Trixie a question right
What's
now.
What's that?
Well, do you guys...
Hold I don't on. Have my screener up, so I can't see if the phones are ringing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it
she'll
just
throw the caution
popped
flag
up.
Out.
It just popped up. I don't know how that happened, but it just popped
so,
up.
So, do you ever listen to ESPN in the morning?
No.
Apparently not big sports fans, even in Chicago right now.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Go
well,
on.
I listen to Mike and Mike in the morning, and the guys are hilarious. Anyway, Mike Golic was talking this week about his son just bought his first house and how proud he is of his son, and they were going to do some work on his house and landscaping and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to go buy rocks to put in the yard.
Okay.
And he didn't know, just wanted round rocks, you know, doesn't it? So it's just funny, like a good sports guy like that has, you know, his absolute lack of knowledge in home improvement skills, which he admits to, by the way,
right,
is was really entertaining. But the whole point of the story, though, is they went to go get river rock, and they started at a box store, and he realized that at $4 a bag or whatever, and he needed 200 bags, that it was going to be crazy expensive.
Right.
They got to move all these bags. So then he goes, well, there's just go buy this one place. You know, it's like a landscaping supply place, and they have piles of rocks.
Right.
So he went in there, and they actually bought all the rock they needed. The guy took a front-end loader, which he called it a – he didn't call it a front-end loader. He called it – I can't remember how he said it. It was hilarious. you know, like a tractor with a big bucket on the front or something just described. But anyway, so him and his son, they get there, and they dump all this stone in the truck, and they weigh his truck, and he gets all his stone – $28.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thing. Everybody gets in, and that was the whole point of this story, was everybody gets in the habit of running to these box stores, and yet there's landscape supply places. And I know, like, in the south side where I was, H&E Sod's there. And, you know, you go to a landscape supply place, and you buy this stuff bulk, and it costs you a fraction of what
I am Googling it right
for.
Now. Land. I totally am. Landscape.
Well, yeah.
Supply.
Because when you go to the big box store, how do they sell the rocks and the gravel? They have to bag it.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
You know, now you've got a bag, you've got somebody that has to bag this, stack it, put it on a pallet. I mean, it's got to be more expensive to send, you know, a 5 pounds of rock to the big box store than just to go to the landscape.
Well, how many times do you have to handle it, right?
Right.
To bag it, truck it, shelve it, like you said.
Right.
One thing that's odd down here is, like, I can go to, we have a big Blue down the street here,
mm-hmm.
and in front of it, they have landscape rock. It's in these, like, they're like 5 foot by 5 foot cube, they're canvas bags.
Really?
They pick them up with a forklift and put them in the back of your truck.
Wow.
So they have it basically in bulk, but not bag, but not in a pile. But it's mm-hmm. pretty bizarre. But I've never seen that at another store other than this one.
Huh. That maybe you've got an experiment going on there.
It could be. But, you know, so it's less expensive than the bags, but it's still not as inexpensive. It's not as it's still more money than a landscape supply place.
Right. Should we check in with Will?
Sure.
Please.
All right, let's go to Will in Skokie. Hey, Will, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Good morning, my beloved house help team. Question for you, actual question. I got one of those heavy-duty storm doors. And it has one of those piston closers.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked fine for about a year. And then it started slamming. So I would open it up, and I would release it. It would just slam shut. And I tried adjusting it, that little screw on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worked. There's no instructions on how to do that. So then it went for like a year, was just slamming, and I'm trying to keep it from slamming. And then a couple of weeks ago, it started acting normally. And so I just kind of like adjusted it a little bit, and I had it so it would slam. It would close fast until it got like about 4 inches from the door. Then it would slow down, and then it would close,
right,
which is mm-hmm. what it's supposed to do. And then this morning, I go to close it, and the thing goes, and it's like 5 or 6 inches from the door. It won't even move.
Huh.
So how the heck do you adjust those things? Or they go bad, or what's the story?
They do go bad, and I think yours is because there's an orifice in there that you're actually controlling, and there's either something blocking it or the gasket is just chopped, because they will do that. They'll go bad.
Yeah, they could have had that. Might have some debris in the oil that's in that, and so even though it's brand new, it might have a chunk of something in there that's just stopping it from working properly. And have you run the screw all the way down and all the way back out just to see if you can loosen it up? Okay.
Yeah. I did that a couple times, and it's one of those things that you can live with, but eventually it aggravates you to the point where you just want to try to do something, and you do it,
right,
and nothing works. Now, if I get a new one, how do you adjust those? What's the proper way to adjust those?
You've got it.
Well, you got it. And it'll slow it down, and going left or loosening it will actually make it close faster, but it always has that built-in stop, and that's where your problem is somewhere inside of that. The orifice is either blocked or getting debris in it, and that's why it's stopping at that 4 to 6 inches.
Yeah, you've got
okay, so
but you got it. It's a small adjustment.
Right inside the end makes it close slower.
Right.
And lefty loosey out makes it close faster.
Correct. Yeah, and that's just the screw on the very end. Now, there are some that you buy that you actually just twist the whole cylinder, and that makes the adjustment also. So depending on the style you get. But if you have that screw on the end, just tighten it up, and that'll adjust it from opening and closing.
Okay, I prefer the kind of speed. The screw. The ones that you twist the whole thing are German, and I don't want to trust German.
All right, that's up to you, man.
It's a Jewish thing, you know?
Okay.
Oh, my.
Have a good one. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
Later.
Thanks,
bye.
Will. So you guys, busy posting stuff this week, too. So, we had Energy Vanguard was posting bad filters and furnaces.
Yeah, I didn't get the chance to read all that yet.
Well, it wasn't nothing to read. It was actually three photographs, and that was funny about guys, they put in a new furnace, and then they have the, the 4-inch pleated filter, and then they run the condensate line right in front of the furnace.
Oh, so
in front of the filter.
Right, so you can't get it
out.
Yep.
And I think the best one was a counterflow furnace. So counterflow is an upright furnace where it blows down.
Okay.
So I take it back. It's not a counterflow. The return was on the bottom of the air handler.
Uh-huh.
And then the trunk was off the top probably. Couldn't really tell in the picture. But they mounted the filter box to the side.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
So it's like, okay, so what's the point? I mean, you don't have any air passing through it other than maybe some makeup, which is then screwing up the whole return system.
But what did your contract say? Your contract said you were going to get this electronic filter thing, right?
Yes, it did not say it was going to be inline installed properly. It only said... those were funny.
It's attached to the furnace, is it not?
Yeah, I get it.
There's just no airflow going through it.
Right. And then did you post the pictures of the flip? Who put that on? Was that on Facebook? The flipper with the 20 inches of fine insulation, except that the bath fan was...
Oh, yeah. On the flip side. And that was an article I found. It's on, I think it's in the Tribune. So, and we're going to have her on in a few weeks to talk about this. This is her first experience going through this and flipping a house.
Was she a flipper or did she buy a house?
No, she bought the house. This is the first time she's actually flipping a house and doing it on her own.
Was this her house that she did or just pictures? Where'd that come from then?
Yeah, that was from her house that she just bought to flip.
Oh. Okay. I get it. So this isn't work she did. This is what she bought, and it probably came from an inspection or something, the pictures, and then she's got to go and correct these issues.
I think so. Well, we'll be talking to her in a few weeks, and we're going to find out about it. But it's a whole series that she's doing about one. The first article is about how she was looking for the house and found one she wanted to do, and then the second one is what she found when she started opening it all up, and then the last one that was posted is about the budgets. And
good luck with that.
Exactly. And
see, this is why I always said, I try to explain things to people where we say bricks are bricks.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could build a house in south side of Chicago, I can build a 4,000 square foot house, and it's going to cost me, let's say, $400,000, just keep it easy numbers, $400,000 to build that house.
Right.
When it's all done and I put it on the market, I might get $450,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I build that same 4,000 square foot house up on the North Shore. It cost me the same $400,000 to build it, but I can sell it for $800,000.
Yeah, but your lot was going to be a little bit more, too.
No, but the whole point is that it's the same energy, so why build That's why you don't see the growth.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you know what? We'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. You are listening to
Mighty House. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. This is Mighty House with Ron Cowgill. Answering all of your toughest questions about home repair. Get all your answers from the experts. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them, MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you, too, can give us a call at 773-763-9278. All right. We've also got the ISEA raffle, if you didn't hear that spot in there. That's coming up. The drawing's going to be next month. So if you haven't gotten your tickets to the to win the Tesla Model S, which I'm sure if you want the X, you can just take the money that you're going to be using for the S and apply it towards the X and get the Model X if you really wanted to,
and
I'm
you
sure.
Need another, what, 40 grand to get
the I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that's.
I'd take the S. We have a Model S. What is it, the B or the D then?
Uh-huh.
Which is the S with the supercharged battery?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, what's that, the 85D or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. But that's a. It's like 0 to 60 is faster than a Ferrari
yes.
or Maserati. I mean, it's 0 to 60 in like 2.4 seconds.
Yes. Yep.
All electric. No yep. sound. That is so cool.
You hear it passing through the wind. Yeah. No, that's cool. And, you know, for $100, you have a chance to win, a, what is that, an $80,000, $90,000 car? So
yes.
you can't beat that. Just, if you go to illinoisolar.org, and you look at the top right-hand corner, you'll see the Tesla raffle. You can click on the link and then go buy your tickets right there. Next month, they are having the raffle, and they're going to hold it. So if you want a chance to win that that car, and it's what, 2,500 tickets, right, Rich?
Yep.
So
$2,500 tickets, $100 a piece, four for $300. You can't go wrong.
No.
Well, other than if you win it, you got to get a loan on the car just to pay the taxes.
Hey.
But it's worth it. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You're going to get an $80,000 car worth of taxes, you know, I mean, $4,000, whatever. It's
right.
Worth it.
And the money you save not having to buy gasoline, you know, that goes a long way towards making that that payment. So.
And then Ron will have to install the charger for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
So, you know, I got another one for you here just going through some emails. And apparently there's a sum of $4.5 million set aside for me.
Oh, really?
What?
Yes. It's, you know, it's one of those stupid phishing emails
yeah.
that I, you know, if I go ahead and contact them, they'll get me the money, blah, blah, blah. So I always laugh when I read these because I always like the story, you know, this guy died or this, that.
Right. Your long lost uncle.
Know. Yeah.
Uh huh.
They're all phishing scams. But what I really intrigued me about this one is they corrected all the spelling and grammar errors. You know, normally, the you know what I mean? It's all broken English
right.
and they're all misspelled, but this one actually is fairly well written.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not giving you my full name, address, phone numbers, and all that. Delete. I just like those.
Well, I have a favorite topic of mine to talk about.
That is?
Customer service and consumer advocacy.
Uh-oh.
I thought we were going to a food show.
Oh, Rich, I missed you.
You do like your
food. I do like my food. Okay. Things that have made me crazy this week.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, wait. New segment.
Yeah, I like that. So everybody get your dialing fingers ready. 773-763-9278. I would like to know the things that made you all, y'all crazy this week. Okay, customer service craziness. Have some garden issues, right? So we have this neighborhood, like kind of like a neighborhood Facebook thing, and you could post anything you want. So these guys posted, hey, we're two college guys, and we're calling ourselves Odd Jobs, and, you know, we'll do stuff for you. I'm like, awesome. I need a bunch of gardening stuff done. So I post on there, you know, please contact me. Here's what I need, blah, 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 blah. Week and a half later, don't hear back.
Uh-huh.
Other people are posting, hey, call me. Hey, I called you. Whatever. Don't hear back.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, this is weird. So I happen to have a conversation with Ron. And Ron sends me the name of his landscape person. So I send them an email. Nothing. No call, no email, nothing. So finally I get a call or an email back from the Odd Jobs guys. And they're like, yeah, you know, our rate is $20 an hour per person. I'm like, maybe not, you know, especially because everything is, you know, what's the $10 an hour is minimum wage. Is that what it is? They're pushing it up or they're pushing it down.
It should be 15. And right now in Illinois, it's 8 different parts of the country.
Oh, it's still only 8?
Yeah.
Okay, so
825 or something like that. I don't know. We don't pay that.
Okay, so I sent a note back, and I'm like, first of all, it's taken you a week and a half, 2 weeks to get back to me. I'm like, $15. I'm like, okay, I can do $15, you know, two of you for 30, all day project.
Right.
Nothing. No response whatsoever. I'm like, you're college kids. How old can you be? 20?
Uh-huh.
And you don't want to work for $15 an hour cash?
No.
No. No. They don't.
Mm-mm.
Drives me nuts. Okay, so then people again, the number 773-763-9278. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm thinking that $20 an hour is.
That you know how your grandma used to give you a quarter and say, "Here, honey, mm-hmm. you did a nice job. Thanks mm-hmm. for helping me," you know.
Back mm-hmm. in my day.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay, I get that I could be wrong. So, I did email Ron's guy and I didn't say, you know, $15 an hour. I just said, Here's my situation. Please give me a rate. Nothing.
Right.
No response whatsoever.
Yep.
Okay. So that's two places. Place number three.
Which I talked to him, by the way. He's buried in work. And he says, I can't take
anymore. So send an email back saying, I got it.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm buried.
Yep.
Right.
Respond.
Yep.
And that's my customer service complaint.
Yeah.
Send me a note back. How do I know? Okay. So here's a flip side to that. Okay. Flip side. Roofing contractor. Okay, have somebody come out and, you know, do an estimate on the roof. I talk to them on the phone. I'm like, you know what? As much as I am woman, hear me roar, it's my husband. He's going to
make the final decision.
Sorry.
Yep.
That's the way it is. Okay. Uh-huh. So I'm like, here's his email. Send him everything. I said, but I'll tell you right now, my husband does not listen to the show and he doesn't know all of our rules.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's going to go for like the lowest price, whatever.
Right.
You know, he is going to shop around and whatever, whatever. I said, so just so you know, it's going to be a little tough. Okay. I said, but I'm for you, you know, whatever. And he's like, yeah, I got lots of pictures. You really need a new roof. This is really bad. Blah, blah. Okay, great. Like 2-3 weeks later, nothing. I keep asking Don. I'm like, did you get anything? No, nothing.
Really?
Nothing. So I call the guy. I'm like, hey, we never got anything. He's like, oh, I sent it. I'm like, okay, let's just say it's a $13,000 job. And the guy did not call or follow up. Does he not want the job? You know, I'm like, why didn't you follow up and make sure we got it after 3 weeks? If are you that busy that you don't need a job?
I'm guilty.
Okay, so you are that busy.
No, I send it out. I drop it in the mail if they want it in the mail, or I just email it out, and I'm off to the next one. And if I don't hear...
don't follow up?
I'm bad. I've always, for 22 years, 25 years, whatever it is, I have never done that follow-up phone call, which I should.
Yeah, because...
I should, but I don't. I never do.
You know,
I figure they'll call me if they want.
Exactly.
That's why...
Go ahead.
It's real simple, too, is all I do is, like, when I would send out a proposal or I'd set that meeting, you know, I would always, while I'm in Outlook setting that meeting, I'd always set up a follow-up call in Outlook. And it would just send me a reminder with their phone number, and I'd just pick it up, phone, you know, have you made a decision?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And at this point, okay, it could be several things. He could be like, you know, she said her husband's going to be kind of a little crazy. I mean, not bad, but, you know. I mean, this guy knows us, right? So I'm like, maybe it's that. But I'm thinking from my husband's point of view, he's like, you know what? If these guys can't even follow up, I'm not even going to deal with them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, what is going on with that company? So again, people, I want to hear. And here's the fourth one.
You had a lot of good luck this week, didn't you?
Yeah, a lot of good luck.
Hey, you emailed me and I got back to you, though.
Because you're awesome. You know what? You really are.
I'll answer an email, but I'm not going to go out and actually... you know, follow up and make that phone call. Make sure you got the information.
Why not? Business people.
I don't know.
Small business owners. Why aren't you following up?
I don't want to bug people. I figure they'll get in touch with me if they want to work with me.
It's a yes, sir.
It's not a matter of bugging people. It's a matter of following up. And basically, I don't call them to go, hey, did you make a decision? It's, you know, I was there a couple of weeks ago. I gave you a proposal. Have you got any questions?
Right.
Or, you know, do you need some more information to make an informed decision? Do you need, you know, but you're talking about, you know, back in the day, I mean, we're doing $200,000 editions. So, you know, it's not something you're going to walk in. Or it's not like selling vinyl siding, you know, where
right.
it's $1,500 sign here.
Yep.
You know, it's a major decision. And you got to kind of hold their hand through the process. So I was always good about that customer service side of it. And I think that's why I had so much repeat.
Right.
Ron, you're just busy.
Well.
Get it.
I guess I don't have to make that. I've never in 25 years had to make that phone call, and I don't, and I never have. So
we'll have somebody.
I don't know. I guess I'm not a salesperson, and I'll be the first one to admit that. I come in there and I ask you, what do you want? Do you want fries with that? Thank you very much. Here's the proposal.
I take your order.
That's it. So,
and I know that you are swamped, but maybe, you know, maybe 5% of business is lost. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody didn't get it. You know,
oh, yeah. I know. Oh, so, that happens a lot. People will call and say, hey, you know, you were out a month and a half ago. I never got the...
Yeah, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I have had a woman that she was a referral. I went to her house once, did some work over there, and then she had to go to Florida to take care of some stuff. And she's like, I'll be back in 2 weeks and we'll continue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. So 2-3 weeks go by and I sent her a note. I'm like, hey, are you back? You know, how did it go? Nothing. So wait another week, send her a note. Hey, haven't heard back. So she sends me a note and she says, I got all your stuff. If and when I ever decide to call you again, I'll let you know. I'm like, oh, okay. But then, you know what? She did call. I thought it was kind of like a nasty sounding note, if and when I decide to call you. But it's like she said, I'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll continue. So to me, I'm not letting that go until she says no.
Yeah,
because,
man.
You know, I'm at the point where I need business, you know, I want more business, you know. But it was so funny. She's like, if and when I need you, whatever.
Well, and I think in the other problem, like in Ron's case, not picking on you there, Ron, but...
Go for it.
The thing is, you're busy enough, and you can follow up and create more business and grow your business, but you always have that same problem, the labor.
Right.
You can't grow it and control it.
Right.
And that was, I mean, I always ran into that. You know, I wanted to do more and just trying to find either a superintendent or a salesperson or somebody that could help me out. I just never could really find that fit.
Right.
And I'm like you. I still prefer to sell it properly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about having a salesman just go out and sell you a home improvement. You know, especially a salesman who's a salesman.
Right.
Who has no idea what your home improvement really is going to entail.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy how some of the major players, you know, operate.
But maybe, like I said, just have, you know, a week later, just have somebody, you know, make a call and just say, hey, not you. You don't have to do it.
Yeah. I know.
Just,
I don't have to.
Make the call.
But see, other salespeople in our office, they do that. They do the follow-up. They do all that stuff correctly.
It's not even a matter of correctly.
No, because it is correctly. I mean, that's, you know, to run a business, like you said, you need to make that follow-up phone call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it.
So
then technically, right.
I finally broke down and ordered a stove and refrigerator. Finally.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yes. This is the first new refrigerator I think I've ever, you know, had in my life.
So did you go with the side-by-side or the under-over?
Side-by-side, freezer on the bottom. Do you want to know why?
Freezer on the bottom?
So you got a French door.
You got the French.
Yes.
Oh.
And then the freezer drawer on the bottom.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because that's what the guy told me to get.
Mike told you to get that.
Yeah,
then, huh?
So I called a guy who had been a guest on our show before, at Grand Appliance, G-R-A-N-D. And Ron said, just call him. And you know what? I'm like, I had started looking around, and I'm like, I hate that. Because you call one place, they go, I'll beat that price.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is this manufacturer better? Is this fridge better? Whatever. So the guy just sends me a note. We did it all on email. And he's like, okay, this is it. You know, I have this deal on this stove, this refrigerator. So I looked up and, you know, just did a quick online, great prices. Okay, fine. All set up. And he's like, you need a water hookup because I've never had an ice machine in my life.
Ron, which said, I told him, she has to have that.
You've never had an ice maker?
Never.
Oh, my.
Really?
Oh. Never.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So does this fridge you got, does this have like a thing in the door for water and ice?
Yes. But I don't have a water hookup. So I have the fridge, but I don't have it.
You will on Tuesday.
Okay, so Ron said, you know, don't have them do it. I'll just come out to your house and do a water line hookup. Fine. So then they're like, what about the stove? And the guy's like, you know, you need to have the stove unhooked, whatever, whatever. And I said, well, I'm not going to have somebody come out and do that. Just can your guys do it? And they're like, okay, we'll put that in the order. Right. Okay. So stove. So the guys come, la-di-da-di-da. And they're like, is everything, you know, taken apart? And I'm like, oh, no, this is it. And they're like, well, we don't have an order to turn off the gas. And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, we don't do that. And I'm just like, the fire is coming out in my eyes. I'm just like, what? You don't do that? Like, no, look, there's nothing on the order. So I call the rep.
Uh-huh.
Or I emailed the rep. Because in the meantime, I'm like, guys, please. Well, to his credit, the rep called immediately, and he was furious. He's like, it's right on the order. I see it right here. Some reason on our order, it didn't say it. You know, they might have made a change in something.
Right.
Because it was on the one that the guy had. And so I pulled up my email. I'm like, it says right here, I am not unhooking and hooking up the stove. You guys are doing it, you know. And it said, yes, we are. So it was a bad customer service that turned out to be good customer service.
Yeah.
You know, it was very infuriating.
Well, an issue was resolved, and it was all, you know, they problems happen. And they always happen to you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But it was resolved quickly.
Right. And so people call because I want to know, too, do you tip the guys then or do you not tip the guys? I need answers, and then I'll tell you if I did. Call 773-763-9278.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, 'cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor, no one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa, yes, I am wise.
I don't know the words.
Broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts or previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you, too, can give us a call, 773-763-9278. All right, Robbie, here you go. There you go.
Very nice.
There you go.
Almost anything.
You got it?
Very nice.
You there, Rich?
I am.
Okay.
I was typing.
And, oh, okay.
And, of course, I don't sing, so
yeah, no.
That one out.
Yeah, that's it. Let's take a couple quick phone calls, and then we've got the tip of the week coming up yet this segment. So let's go let's go to Bill in Harvey. Hey, Bill, you're on Mighty House.
It was a comment or quiz. It was like a slight quiz because I went through this. You have a leak in your house, so you check your toilets in your basement. You don't see any water. You might feel a little moisture here and there. You change a couple of donuts. Then you look around and you look at your faucets outside where maybe it's coming into the basement, see some other water, but you have a huge amount of water and you can't figure out where it's coming from. So you look around your furnace and you sit looking like a Niagara Falls in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
What is the problem?
The humidifier. Or if you have a 90 plus furnace, it's the condensation line that's either clogged up or not draining properly.
Right. It was part of the air conditioning unit. It was clogged up.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I had to drill a hole in the side of the drain coming out because it was all PVC and it was completely, you know, tightly fitted.
Mm-hmm.
So I drilled a hole in the side of it with a drill, and I went to Home Depot and got a plug or whatever. But the bottom line is I took a piece of tubing and just shoved it in there, and finally it opened up.
Yep.
And there's one thing that I didn't notice that was it was not dripping into the sump. Instead of dripping in the sump, there was nothing coming out of the with the pipe because you couldn't tell.
Right.
Because it went right in the furnace, and that's what I found out. And at first, I thought the furnace was not going to work come winter.
Mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, it's worked better than it ever has. It's clean as a whistle.
Congratulations.
Well, a lot of them, yeah, they actually have a safety on them. If that gets clogged or the pan gets water in it, the furnace will stop working.
Yeah.
Same with your AC, actually.
Correct.
If you get condensation builds up.
Correct. So did we pass the test, Bill?
You passed the test. I thought I'd stomp you. I really thought I had you. I have a question, though.
Sure.
Between, they call them squares and bundles on roughing.
Okay.
Now, does it change when you go to the length of the, that's called bundles, the square changes as a square, an exact same size? Can you tell what that is? For the customer, what you're buying?
A square is 10 foot by 10 foot. It's 100 square feet. You could have 5 bundles of shingles in a square. You could have 3 bundles of shingles in a square. It depends on the coverage of the shingle and that you're selecting. So
it's sort of the weight of them because, if you have 135 pounds a square, which is your standard 3-tab, or your architecturals can run 270 pounds a square, and that's why they bundle them. You get fewer shingles in a bundle because they're just plain heavier.
Right, and you got
to
get them up.
So that's why you might have 5. You know, you might have 5 square or 5 bundles to a square with an architectural and 3 bundles to a square for the 3 tabs, and it's just because of weight.
Thank you. Wow, that was so confusing.
Clear as mud?
Clear as mud, brother.
Thank you very much.
All right, talk to you.
Ladies, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robbie, too. She's on my Star Search.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. All right, bye. All right, let's try Ann in Rockford real quick. Hey, Ann, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Hi. I was just calling with my pet peeve and to say I agree with Ron because, you know what, I hate when they give you an estimate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the time for selling is when you're there. When you're there, you're walking over my property, you're seeing what needs to be done, and then you write the estimate, then that's the best part. You wrote the estimate, you send it. I hate when I, like when they follow up and they call back and I say, well, no, I decided to go with a different contractor. Well, can you tell me why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we'll do that. And it's like, okay, I hate the confrontation part. It's like, if I choose to use you, I'll call you.
Right.
Do not call me back.
Thank you.
Give me the estimate.
Uh-huh.
Don't call me back. I hate that follow up. It's like it's more a confrontation because it's like, okay, now you want my business. So you're going to have to tell me why I should go with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I do change my mind, now I got to call this other guy back and he's going to do the same thing. It's like, give me the estimate, move on.
Right.
Go to your next job, and if I want you, I'll call you.
Right, but
so,
Ann, just,
I agree with Ron.
I know, Ann, and that's my personal thing, but you go to any sales clinic, any small business person will tell you, you send out the estimate, you need to follow up, make sure that the person got it.
That's it.
And
but I think the other thing, though, and I think it has a lot to do with what you're selling. Like I said, in my case, they were always big dollar additions and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, everything was 50,000 and up. That's not something you're going to sit there at a table and get signed that night.
Right.
It takes a couple of touches.
Yeah.
But you're right. If you're talking service work, you know, a lot of stuff there is, yes, I would agree with you 100%. You're pretty much capable of making a decision at that time.
Well, you know what? But that's the thing. It's like when you're there and you're a contractor, and that's what I'm looking at just, you know, based on contract. When you're there and you're writing that estimate, if I'm going to use you, I expect for you to give me a good detailed estimate compatible, you know, or comparable mm-hmm. with the next person. So then it's like I'll have all the information in front of me, you know, three or four estimates. Then I'll look at it. I'll see, you know, compare them, see what might have been overlooked, see what might have been missed. If I want to use you or if you impress me as someone that know what they're doing, then I'll call you back and say, okay, well, I did notice that you might have missed this or you might have left this off, which, you know, maybe another guy had picked it up or something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we can go from there. But if, you know, if you're out there and you're writing a crazy estimate already or you're over the top, then you're just not, I'm like your her husband, then I'm not going to use you because you're just too over the top for me. So, right. You know, this don't look like the price. This ain't within the range of all the other ones.
Right.
So, you know, you're just already, you've already wrote yourself out of the bid anyway. So
right. Excellent.
I just think the follow-up, it's good for certain things. But I don't think for contractors is really necessary, and especially like if there's been a storm or something and now you got, you know, six or seven contractors writing you roof estimates.
Mm-hmm.
You basically can sort of estimate, okay, who's, you know, more thorough than others, basically by their estimate. So if you're writing a pretty good estimate, you really don't have to worry about the follow-up. You might follow up to see if they received it.
Right.
But then, you know, that's it. I just
hate that. We just want to follow up to say, did right. you receive it?
Yeah, but I don't like that confrontation. Well, why did you go with that person? Can I tell you, know why? Don't sell it. It's like, just, you know, sell your experience once you're out, when you're out there. So.
Right. Excellent. All right. I appreciate the phone call, Ann. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
And if anybody else has thoughts, you know, you can email me, robbie@mightyhouse.net, or you can post it on Facebook and we'll talk about it.
Or the Twitter, just like someone else did on the Twitter here.
And what did they say?
They said, Robbie, it's a common problem with contractors who don't follow up.
So it seems like more are not.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to get contractors to put stuff in writing. Like she said, she just wants a well-written estimate showing, mm-hmm. you know, what you're getting for the dollar.
Right.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, there are lots of good contractors that do that, but the majority will just wing it.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
For what? Oh, my gosh. We're late.
Okay, Sparky.
All right. What an odd thing today.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, no, we've gone through all kinds of stuff, you know, talking about contractors, Nat, and the tip of the week, unbeknownst to you twos, is actually from NARI.
No.
Yeah. So we always talk about NARI and questions you should ask your contractors and things that you should be aware of. So mm-hmm. here's some questions that NARI members recommend you ask your contractor before signing that contract.
Okay.
So some of them are simple, like how long have you been in business? Who's going to be assigned to the project? You know, who'd be working on the project? In other words, are they employees or subcontractors?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, that's a big, big question because everybody thinks that, you know, if they have a certificate of insurance or workman's comp, that they're covered. Well, that's not necessarily the case because it only covers employees. Now, they have guys that are treating as subcontractors, and the IRS is real clear about that. You know, if the guy's telling you where to be, when to be there, and what to do, he's not a subcontractor. He's an employee. Even mm-hmm. if he doesn't, you don't give him a paycheck.
Right.
You know, even if it's still treated as an employee, so you need to know that. You know, make sure they have insurance. Don't take make sure that you get a copy of their insurance or from their insurance company. And particularly on larger jobs, make sure you're named as additional insured. Because obviously that would give you 30 days notice typically if they canceled their insurance, so to protect you.
And that should be sent directly from the insurance company to you, to the homeowner.
Correct. Yes. I've had many guys that I've tried to hire as subcontractors, and I'm like, I need a certificate of insurance. And the guy goes out to his truck, uh-huh. and he grabs one and hands it to me. And I always just laugh my butt off.
Uh-huh.
I go, nice try. He's like, what do you mean? I go, how do I know this is any good? You got insurance in January.
Canceled
it
in February.
You got the certificate. You made a 10, 15, 20 copies. You canceled it in February, and you expect me to trust this.
Uh-huh.
No, thank you. It's my house. So
yep.
It's funny. And people, you know, and people fall for this one all the time because they just don't know.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying people are stupid. They're ignorant. There's a big difference there. Mm-hmm. Stupid's doing it after hearing this and doing it again. You know.
Yep.
And then insane is doing it over and over and over expecting a different result.
Right.
So then what's your approach to a project, you know, such as how they're going to do this or that? A good question is how many projects like mine have you done?
Mm-hmm.
This one's key. I used to love when I was bidding an addition, and I'm going up against a kitchen remodeler.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure the guy knows how to take the cabinets out, put the cabinets in. But as far as taking out the back wall of the house, I'm pretty sure you don't know what's going on. All right?
Yep.
Anyway, and then ask if any of your employees are certified. So the last part of this, because I know we're coming up on the break, I put on our Facebook page the checklist from NARI, what to ask references.
You know, oh.
Are you related? Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
It's on Facebook right now.
Excellent. All right. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.